All right, that's enough. He was starting to go, and then he saw me dancing more. He went back up with it. That was fun. You got to dance a little JT when you can. So, all right, it is great to be with you, church. How are you guys doing today? Doing well. It is Baptism Sunday, as you guys already heard. I love Baptism Sunday. It's so awesome. For me, it's like chocolate, Michigan football, gadgets, Baptism Sunday, then like my family and Jesus. So it's way up near the top. So those are some of the things I love. Get to know me a little bit. So. And we're also wrapping up our series on the Book of Ruth. It's been an awesome series, hasn't it? I've like really enjoyed it. I've gotten a lot out of it from things that my co-pastors have shared. So just a little recap. So the first week we focused on tragedy because there's a lot of tragedy and loss and grief from the first chapter and how God is still present in the midst of that. And then week two we looked at happenstance and how these things that sometimes we feel like are these horrible coincidences, but maybe aren't. Maybe God is working behind the scenes through happenstance in our lives. And then in the last week, we looked at plans, how God has called us to still make plans with him, even when we go through difficult things. And today, as John mentioned earlier, we're going to be focusing on the theme of powerlessness and how you see that throughout this book as well, and specifically in the last chapter. But let's pray first before we go there. Jesus, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this chance to be together and to share in the joy of seeing people get baptized into your church and take that step of faith and obedience. It's just awesome, and it's so fun to hear their stories. I thank you for that. I ask that you bless our time in your word this morning as well, and may it be fruitful in each of our lives. May you have something for each of us today. In your name, amen. Okay, if you are just joining us today for the first time, welcome. We'd love having new people here. If you missed any of the last few weeks, just a quick overview real fast. I don't have a lot of time because we're doing baptisms today with the Book of Ruth. Basically, what happens at the beginning is there's a man and a woman, a married, Naomi and Elimelech, and they are facing a famine in Israel, and so they decide to move to a foreign land where there's food, Moab. And they bring their two sons marry foreign wives there. One of them is named Ruth. And tragedy strikes. Naomi's husband, Elimelech, dies, and then their two sons die, and it's just Naomi and her two daughters-in-law left. And they decide to go back to Israel. One of the daughters-in-law stays back in Moab, and Ruth decides to be loyal and try to stay with Naomi, though Naomi begs her to stay. And then in the second chapter, you have Ruth begins to try to find a way to find food for her and Naomi, and so she goes and goes to this place where the family's from in this land and meets Boaz, who inquires about her and learns her and basically says, hey, you're welcome to get as much food as you want to be here, want to bless you, want to help you, which is awesome. And so Naomi and Ruth basically say, hey, Boaz is actually a distant relative of ours, and maybe we should approach him and talk to him and make a plan about could he be willing to be their kinsman, their family redeemer, which I'll come back to a little bit, but we've talked about that some the past few weeks too. And so they do. And Boaz says, yeah, Ruth, I can dig what I'm seeing here, and this opportunity, she catches his eye, and he's interested and excited. I'm not going to waste any time, and we pick up the story in chapter 4, okay? Because there's another family member who's a little closer he has to address first. 4, verse 1. Boaz went to the town gate and took a seat there. Just then, the family redeemer he had mentioned came by, so Boaz called out to him, come over here and sit down, friend. I want to talk to you. Butters him up a little bit first. A little something I got to chat with you about. So they sat down together. Then Boaz called 10 leaders from the town and asked them to sit as witnesses. Whenever the guy at this point is like, what's going on here? This seems serious. Boaz says to the family redeemer, you know Naomi, who came back from Moab. She is selling the land that belonged to our relative, Elimelech. I thought I should speak to you about it so you can redeem it if you wish. If you want the land, then buy it here in the presence of these witnesses. But if you don't want it, then let me know right away because I am next in line to redeem it after you. And you wonder if at this moment, I mean, Ruth and Naomi aren't even present. They know this is going on, but they don't know what's going to happen or what this person is going to say. And Boaz doesn't know either. And it's this moment of powerlessness, really. It's this really pregnant moment of where their future is in the hands of someone else. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt where, man, if this person doesn't decide this thing, it's not going to go well for me, or this is going to be really rough or challenging. I can relate to that. And the man replies, all right, I'll redeem it. And you feel like, oh no. Now we know kind of how the story ends, but I just wanted to point out that moment, because you also see various levels of powerlessness for Naomi, especially at the beginning of the story where she loses her husband and her sons, for Ruth as well. And it culminates in this decision point here. And they have to trust in the Lord, right? They have to trust in the Lord and in his provision. And I just want to give just a short little exhortation for you. If you're feeling any powerlessness yourself right now in this moment, I don't have time to read it myself, but I just read Psalm 13 this week, and it really blessed me. It really helped me. I've been feeling some of these things with just some things going on in my life, and I encourage you to read it. Read it today. Don't delay if you're feeling stuck in some powerlessness. It's really, the psalmist goes into that a little bit, and then basically he ends it by still saying, I'm going to remain loyal to you. Which is the example you see from Ruth and Boaz in the story. They decide to remain loyal through difficulty to the Lord and his ways. So take a look at that. I also want to say, if you never feel powerlessness in your life, if you're one of those people that the rest of us dislike, just kidding, just joke, total joke. You can laugh, it's okay. But if you do, if you're like, man, I haven't felt that way like in a long time, it might be because you're not taking steps of faith with the Lord. It might be because you're not dreaming big enough for what God could do in and through your life. So take some time to think about that and pray about that. Ask the Lord, what might you have for me that I could believe you for you to come through? All right, let's continue our story. Verse 5, then Boaz told him, he takes another try. Of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land and the family. Then I can't redeem it. The family redeemer replied, because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land. I cannot do it. And I love the way this author writes this story. It's so beautifully done because there's some great irony here. Here's a man who's so concerned about his own affairs, his own estate, his own name, that he says, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to participate. You know, you take care of this. You can have the land. You can have Ruth. And he actually ends up not being named. He's like the nameless one in our story. And it's Ruth and Boaz, because they were faithful and did follow God's ways, that we know them to this day, thousands of years later. I thought that was kind of cool. I read that in a commentary. That was not like something I figured out on my own. Just full disclosure. So let's pick up the story. Let's go verse 9. Then Boaz said to the elders in the crowd. Oh, hold on a sec. Yep, that's right. That's wrong. Sorry. Then Boaz said to the elders and the crowd standing around, you are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. And with the land, I've acquired Ruth, the Moabite widow of Mahlon, to be my wife. This way she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in his hometown. You are all witnesses today. Basically, no take backs. This is done. This is happening, which is really cool. Then he's blessed by the elders and the people that are standing there. And this is so cool, you guys, because powerlessness is an opportunity for God's power to come through. You see, when we're powerless, when it feels like all hope is lost, it's an opportunity for God's power to come through. I'm sure Naomi didn't feel that or think that at the beginning of the story, right? But look how far we've come as she's trying to still remain faithful and follow God's ways. Same thing with Ruth and all she's been through. I was thinking about this in my life, and I thought of a story when I was a student. I decided to do an internship for our summer leadership training program, and since it was through the church, it was support-based, so I had to go and raise my support, and I didn't grow up in the church myself. I didn't come to faith till my senior year in high school, and so I didn't have very many people to contact, and it was rough going for a while, and I remember just like with 2 weeks before the program was starting, I had about half my support to still raise, thousands of dollars, and I just felt like I came to this point, I felt powerless, and like, God, I don't know what to do. Like, I really don't. I don't know who else to talk to or ask. I just need you to show up. And I think it was the next day or maybe 2 days later, I got two phone calls. One was someone who says, hey, I want to give you $2,500 towards this thing. And another person said, I want to give you $500. And no other gifts came anywhere near that. And it was basically the rest of what I needed. And I just felt so floored that after I got off the phone, and I just fell to my knees and just said, God, you are so good. You are powerful enough to come through. And he did, and he does for us, you guys. He does come through. So not always when we want him to or how we want him to or as fast as we want him to, but our God is a God of power, and the powerlessness, when we're at that moment, it's his moment to shine. Let's continue in our story. Ruth 4, verse 13, where I want to pick up. So Boaz took Ruth into his home, and she became his wife. When he slept with her, the Lord enabled her to become pregnant, and she gave birth to a son. Then the women of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old age. For he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons. This is like an astonishing accolade, especially in the ancient world. This daughter-in-law, well, for one, there's like the whole daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, you know, issues that normally go on in our world. But she says, better than seven sons because of her loyalty, her love for Naomi. Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. And the neighbor woman said, now at last, Naomi has a son again, her first grandchild. What a gift, right? And they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David, King David. And you see then a genealogical record all the way from Perez going down through Boaz, Obed, Jesse, and David. King David. These are his ancestors. We wouldn't have had him if it wasn't for Ruth, Naomi, their loyalty, and Boaz, his loyalty too. It's so awesome. And from their line, we get Jesus ultimately as well. You see, God's power is made perfect. It's like on display through our weakness, you guys. It's made perfect in weakness. That's from 2 Corinthians 12:9. It's only when we come to that moment where we feel like we've got no power left that God can miraculously come through, and where often he does. And their story that I'm sure Naomi and Ruth at times felt like just so weak, right? And like our story is meaningless and is nothing and is a horrible story. And yet God had a much bigger plan and story in mind, right? So I don't know where each of you and every one of you are at. Maybe you feel like my story is small, or my story doesn't even exist, or my story is insignificant, is meaningless. And let me tell you, that is not true. That is a lie. Each and every one of you, each and every one of you have a very important story that God is weaving into his grander story. And I can't wait to see all that God does one day when we get to heaven and talk about it, and see all these connections that he was weaving like he does in this story with Ruth and Naomi and Boaz. It's so awesome. Because you see, Jesus is ultimately like Boaz was their family, kinsman, redeemer. That's Jesus for each and every one of us, where he steps in and secures for us an eternal future. You see, we have all sinned, and Jesus on the cross empties himself of all power and dies for our sins, takes our place on the cross that we deserve, and God the Father does a miracle by then resurrecting him and saving all of humanity. So why do we do baptism? Baptism is a symbol of that, and also a symbol of what we do when we follow Jesus, where we decide to. When we go down the water, it symbolizes death, the death that Jesus experienced himself, and also the death that we decide, where we place all of our sin at the feet of Jesus and die to our old life. And we come up out of the water, symbolizes that resurrection, that new life that we have when we're made a new creation and born again by the power of Jesus. It's so awesome, it's so beautiful, it's so fun to see. It's really a public acknowledgement of our ultimate powerlessness before God and our acceptance of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, because he's the one who has the power to save us. Matthew 28:19-20 says, therefore go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That includes this command itself, where to baptize. And that's what we're doing today. We're getting a chance to participate this as a church and watch some of these young men and women of the faith decide to follow this command, to be baptized. We're getting a chance to hear about their story and how God has been working in their lives and why they've decided to get baptized. And as a way to celebrate with them this morning, we'll also get a chance to hear from the person baptizing them, share some affirmation about the unique role they play in our body, the body of Christ, because we're a big family, right? So I'd like to welcome up first Michael. So would you please welcome up him to tell some of the story.
Morning, church.
Yeah, you're good. Keep going.
Morning, church. My name is Michael Devlamic from Palmertown. I have known Jesus all my life, but it wasn't until this year that I decided to pour everything I have into loving him. Before this year, I was looking for acceptance and love in others who couldn't and wouldn't give it to me. This search left me empty and alone. However, this year, I decided that I would give everything that I have to Jesus. Since doing this, I have only seen positive growth in my spiritual walk with God and my relationships with others. I am relying on God with every decision I make and trusting that his plan is better for me than the plan that I have. I want to get baptized today to step out in faith and declare that Jesus is now the ruler of my entire life and not just the bits and pieces that are easy to give up. I want to begin this new chapter in my life and show before God and my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ that I am committed to following God's commands no matter what, and that I will press into him in my times of joy, struggle, sadness, and doubt. Today I will be getting baptized by a man who has helped me grow closer to God this year on multiple levels, Trevor Corrigan. Trevor has helped me discover the love that God has for me and how I can demonstrate that love to others, whether that be a stranger or a friend. He has helped me work through the tough things that can be really hard to understand and has been a fantastic brother who has helped me learn who God really is. Trevor, I'm really excited for you to baptize me today. Thanks,
Mike, I am so excited, honored, and blessed to be baptizing you today. I just think that God has made you into such a light. So excited to see how he will help spread that light across Michigan ROTC, across our church, and all across Michigan. I'm so excited for you, man. Yeah.
All right. Please welcome up Mackenzie next.
My name is Mackenzie Smith. I'm a student, a sister, a friend, an athlete, a princess, and more recently, a daughter of Christ. I grew up in a Christian extended family, but my immediate family didn't necessarily participate in any religious activities unless we were asked to. Throughout my life, I felt like many people were telling me to follow Jesus, but I had developed the strict idea of Christianity, and I felt unprepared or unworthy to be a follower of Jesus. Last year, I joined the BB Crew New Life team, and now I'm on the Palmertown team. New Life turned out to be exactly what I needed. In this community, I have seen how Christ is acting in all of our lives and learned what it means to follow Jesus. I'm consistently inspired by these people who are passionate about living in a relationship with Christ. Most significantly, I have learned that Christianity is not a list of to-dos and don'ts, and that the only requirement is to trust in Jesus, our Savior. In March, I was ready to give my life to Christ, and I'm choosing to be baptized today to celebrate my love for God. Hannah Witte will be baptizing me because she is one of my mentors, one who has listened, taught, and guided me in my relationship with Christ.
I like touching you. Mackenzie, it is my joy and privilege to baptize you, and I see you uniquely bringing to this body a picture of God's kindness and his steady presence, and it's so good.
Thank you. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. All right, next, please welcome up Brady.
Hi, I'm Brady Brower, and I'm a freshman in LSA at U of M, and I'm a part of BB Crew. I think my story is a little bit different because I can honestly say I've been a Christian for as long as I can remember. I went to a Christian school my whole life, and I learned so much about Jesus and the sacrifices he made and the endless unconditional love he has for us. But throughout my faith journey, it never really hit home with me to understand what it means and what it feels like and looks like to be a true follower of Jesus. I always had my faith, but it was much easier to just push it aside and worry more about the physical world that I could actually see, which is why my relationship with Jesus became so distant. When I came to U of M, I thought it'd be a good idea to join a small group since I wasn't getting the everyday exposure to Christianity that I did at my Christian high school. So after learning about New Life in one of the Welcome Week events, I joined a small group led by Taylor Towns. But everything really changed for me when I made the decision to go to Fall Retreat with New Life. After we had a discussion as a small group there, Mikey Filicicchi and Mikey Hankey, who's standing next to me here, took an extra interest in my story. We all had a really long talk together about what was holding me back, and I realized that even though I had my faith, I didn't understand what it looks like and what it feels like to have the Holy Spirit inside of me and to truly walk alongside Jesus so that he can influence my decisions and relationships. So the Mikeys pretty much allowed me to open up a spot in my heart for Jesus. And I know that I'm not even close to having everything figured out, but getting baptized today for me means I'm starting a brand new life to follow Jesus and live my life for him so that I can finally have a place for him in my heart. That's why it seems so fitting for me to get baptized here at New Life, since this moment represents a new life and a new beginning for me. So baptizing me today is Mikey Hankey. He's one of the people that took an extra interest in my journey with Jesus at Fall Retreat and helped completely transform my idea of what being a follower of Jesus truly looks like. And I can't thank him enough for what he's done for me.
Brady. Oh my gosh, the Mikeys, I'm dying. Okay. Brady, I am excited to baptize you today because Christ has given you a thirst, a unique thirst for the Holy Spirit, Christ alive in you, and a hunger for authentic relationship. And I'm excited to see how you live into these gifts.
Thank you.
We have a few more stories here, but let me pray for these three people first. Lord, I thank you for this chance to get to share in baptism. And Lord, I want to pray for Michael and Mackenzie and Brady and ask that you would really bless them for taking this step of faith. I pray that you could help them to walk with you faithfully and in faith for all of their days, Jesus, and help them to be a light wherever they go in everything that they do and say. Be there. May they be your hands and feet, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. Awesome. All right, we've got three more. So please next welcome up Sarah.
Hi, everybody. My name is Sarah Avery, and I'm a part of the New Life Hill Central team. I love you guys. I'm a sophomore studying international relations, and I come from a very unique background, but that's for another time. My life before Jesus was confusing. I wasn't sure where I was going or what I was going to make of myself. For years, I was unsure of what to do. I've always had a relationship with Jesus, but it wasn't until this year that I was ready to fully commit my life to him, thanks to the support of some amazing people in this room. And one special person who pushed me to go on a life-changing fall retreat. Brady, you know where you are. I'm incredibly excited to get baptized. While I was baptized as a baby, I feel that I'm at a new point in my life and ready to fully commit and work towards a life following the Lord. I have struggled with balance in my life, and I've found that when I'm committed to scripture, relationships, and service through the church, my life is more full and focused. The wonderful ladies baptizing me have all been incredible forces in my journey in faith this past year. Julie and Alicia were my small group leaders last year and helped me grow with the Lord in too many ways to count. Veronica has always been here to talk at the right time, and she has shaped my path by also being one of our team leaders on Hill Central. I'm so honored and grateful to have these ladies be a part of not only this moment, but my life. Thanks, loves.
We are honored to baptize Sarah today because we have seen and experienced the great heart that God has given her to love and care for others, and we are so excited to see how she will use it.
I'm going to give you all.
Thank you guys so much. All right, please welcome up Dani next to share her story.
I got this on my phone. Hi, I'm Dani, and I'm on Hill Central team. So I grew up Catholic, but not really in the church. You know, typical Catholic family, we went to Mass most Sundays when we could and major holidays. I have gone through the first three, like, sacramental rites, which sounds so churchy and a little bit snobby, but even though I had gone through these like soul-saving rituals, I hadn't really placed much faith or believe in God. Then after I first fell into depression, and after calling out to him and seemingly hearing no answer, I decided that he didn't exist. And if he did, then he had turned his back on me long ago. For the next 6 years, I would go on to hide my depression with minor outbreaks and numerous reassurances to my parents, siblings, and friends that I was really okay. I somehow make it to college, and I can handle my depression a little better, and I have zero intentions of getting plugged into a church, but here I am, and I'm way better for it. Veronica had been one of the first welcoming faces of my return to the Lord. I start going to small group, and to team, and to service, and learning about Jesus, and having a good time. And then, of course, I hit another, depression low, and October last year had been really rough for me, and through, one of these nights, I just remember crying on my dorm room floor, just really crying out to him, asking, why this was happening, and why it was happening again, and, Lord, I came back to you, and you still don't want me. I remember just, asking him to help me, help me see you, help me hear you, and afterwards I sat with him, and despite what I felt and despite my wanting to push him out, I sat with him longer still before crawling into bed. It wouldn't be until 1 year later, practically to the T, that I would realize that I had accepted Jesus as Savior that night. It took a very dear friend with some pressing questions at Bubble Island, of all places, at 10 p.m., to realize that through one of my most painful trials, I had accepted the gift. And of course, Ariana, being her usual excitable self, asked me if I wanted to get baptized. And so this was the Thursday before fall retreat, and baptisms were right there. So I really just wanted to sit on it and pray on it before making a decision. I think you can all guess where that led me. Standing behind me are two wonderful women, Veronica and Ariana, who have given me so much guidance and support in my walk of faith, who from day one I've been encouraged and challenged in so many ways, who I love dearly, and I am so excited to publicly declare my acceptance to Jesus and to call my sisters in Christ.
We're honored to baptize Dani today because God has given her a heart that is genuine and expressive and specifically cares for the marginalized, which I believe will serve the church and bring us to a fuller picture of what God intended.
All right, please welcome up last but not least, Parker.
My name is Parker Jansen. I'm on the Hill Central New Life team. Yeah. Rather than sharing a chronological story of how I became a Christian, I want to share with all of you why I'm being baptized today. So I've been a part of the church for about 19 years, and pretty much the only reason I have yet to be baptized is because of fear. I just really don't like public speaking, and I also don't like talking about myself. So this is kind of a lose-lose, but I spent a lot of time this week thinking about the root of that fear, and I think it comes down to two things. The first is that I feel the need and the desire to impress other people by my story, and the second is that I have believed that my story will not impress anyone. Now, I've come to recognize that both the desire to be praised and the insecurity of not being praised is incredibly prideful. And I want to define pride here as the desire to be made much of in thought, heart, or deed. And I've repeatedly felt the temptation this week to write a testimony that shows my own worth and my own glory. And I want to confess that I have been a thief of God's glory. I've tried time and time again to take something that God has given me to show himself as valuable, such as biblical knowledge or wisdom, and pass it off as my own in order to show myself as valuable. So instead of doing that, today I have just attempted to write a testimony that only shows the value and the glory of God. And to do that, all I'm going to share with you is what Jesus has saved me from and what he has saved me for. Jesus has saved me from a life that is controlled by people. He has saved me from a life spent pursuing my own glory. He has saved me from a life wasted on meaningless pleasure. And instead, Jesus has saved me for a life of enjoying his glory. He has saved me for a life that is lived to the full. He has saved me for a life of new desire and new purpose. My purpose is not to impress people, and it's not even to impress God. Rather, my purpose is to be impressed by God. I exist to see and savor the glory of God for what it truly is, the all-satisfying treasure that is worth giving up everything that I have for. And my hope is that when you hear my story, you will not see my own value, but rather will see a glimpse of the beauty, the majesty, and the glory of God, and be inspired to run after it with everything you have. I'm not being baptized today to impress, entertain, or to receive praise. Rather, I am being baptized to praise God and reflect to him the glory that he deserves for his work in my life. And baptizing me today are my dogs, Gens and Jarrett.
We are excited and super pumped to be baptizing you today. Parker, you are someone who desires God's glory above your own. God has given you an infectious passion for the Bible, and we're just incredibly excited to see how you continue to lay down your life to serve both our New Life team and everyone around you to greater dependence and trust upon the Lord.
Awesome. Aren't those stories just so awesome, right? So encouraging. Love it. Well, I would like to pray for these three. As I do, I want to welcome the band back up and you prayer ministers also to take your spots. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for Sarah and Danny and Parker, and I ask that you bless them as well. I pray that you bless them for taking this step of faith and obedience. I pray that they could experience your power, not only just in this moment, but throughout the rest of their lives. Jesus, I pray that you would help them to be faithful to you and your ways, to live in faith for all that you've done for them, Jesus. May they remember this moment and remember what you've done for them on the cross. In your name I pray. Amen. Awesome. Well, those of you who are getting baptized, please stand. Having repented of your sin and having accepted Jesus Christ as both Lord and Savior, will you seek to be a faithful member of God's capital C Church and to advance God's purposes here and throughout the world? If so, say, I will with God's help. Excellent, thank you. The rest of the church, I want to invite you to stand as well. Since we're a church family and one of the body of Christ, do you, church, promise to love, encourage, and support these sisters and brothers, to be devoted to them in mutual love, to care for their needs and practice hospitality, to rejoice with them and weep with them, to spur them on toward love and good deeds, and to be eager to honor and bless them in the name of Jesus? If so, answer, we will with God's help.
We will with God's help.
Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for the privilege it is to be your church, to be your church together, your hands and feet in this world, to be led by you, Lord. I thank you for this time for us to be baptizing these young followers of you. I ask that you would help us to remember, even in this moment, our first decisions to follow you, our salvation, our baptism, and to come back to all that you've done for us, Jesus, each and every one of us, and to be renewed if we need it, be renewed with hope, with love, with your gospel, with your passion for each and every one of us, for this world. I pray these things in your name. Amen.